Yeah, you know, it's the Last Call podcast with Chris Michaels, and gosh, what a load of stories to get through, so I'm going to be as quick as possible. This comes from Andrea Widberg from theamericanthinker.com. The woke brigade has come for Roald Dahl's books, and this is one of the reasons why I try to go after older books or books that have been published many, many times and get the earliest publications, including theological books such as the Bible, because once these later editions come out, all of the phrases and the terminology and the vocabulary changes as time goes on. So the more recent book you've got, the more biased it's going to be with its language. And so she has determined that Roald Dahl's books are now being edited because people are fatphobic, and we can't be negative towards other people. Well, that's what makes the books the books. I mean, Roald Dahl wrote James and the Giant Peach, and he was also known to be racist, misogynistic, and always describing his characters, which usually happen to have been women, scary and ugly. I think he was even an anti-Zionist. So, yes, he was. He was pro-Palestine, and so that inevitably made him anti-Zionist. So, you know, in the publishing world, that's it. You're toast. So, Words Matter begins this discreet notice, which sits at the bottom of the copyright page of Puffin's latest editions of Roald Dahl's books. The wonderful words of Roald Dahl. I'm not going to say that all day. I'm just going to say Dahl, because Roald Dahl, I mean, that's all over the place, can transport you to different worlds and introduce you to the most marvelous characters. This book was written many years ago, so we regularly review the language to ensure that it can continue to be enjoyed by all today. You mean editing and censorship, because your liberal slant is so overwhelming that you can't bear to read the word fat. That's what they're talking about. Ugh. The Telegraph has found hundreds of changes, including, oh, this is good. What he wrote is a witch, or what was actually edited, I should say. The phrase was, "I do not wish to speak badly about women. Most women are lovely, but the fact remains that all witches are women. There is no such thing as a male witch, and that has been changed to a witch is always a woman." Now, for what it's worth, old Dahl is correct, because there are no male witches, because male witches are known as warlocks. And then, well, it simply also went into, a witch is always a woman, there is no such thing as a male witch. That's what that whole phrase was edited down to. Then there was another line, fat little brown mouse becomes little brown mouse. Here's your little boy was another one. He needs to go on a diet. And that was edited to, here's your little boy. And then great horsey face was the phrase that was used to describe Miss Trunchbull's physique has simply become face. Turning white has been changed to somebody turning quite pale. So it goes on and on and on. You can't say anything that could be slightly construed as fatphobic or racist. They go into changing colors in the book. I mean, to the point where the books aren't even the right books anymore, or the correct phrasing. It removes the emphasis. I mean, imagine what they're going to do in a book like 1984, or worse yet, Animal Farm. Or, I can't think of it now. It's such a famous one. Atlas Shrugged. Imagine what they're going to do to try and change that book. I mean, it's mind-boggling to think about this kind of thing, but this is the exact battle that we all have to fight against, and that's okay. Do you know why? Because there are past editions of these books, so we know what they're changing. And we can't let them alter history. We can't let them manipulate the true emphasis behind these books, because the importance of these books cannot be understated enough. I mean, a book like 1984, could you imagine if that book was edited so it was nicer? And so it was more palatable. I mean, you cannot do something like that. Or a Clockwork Orange, because you imagine editing that book. So there was no rape scene. Totally removing the whole gist of that book. We're now in the 1984 novel. I mean, it's right here, baby. We're in it. So what else is disconcerting about all of this is the ultimate power of the fascist state. Now, James O'Keefe has been removed from Project Veritas as CEO and also removed from its board of directors. Now, James O'Keefe, if you don't know, he was out there. He was doing all kinds of excellent work, in my opinion, but it so happens that once we start dishing the dirt on Pfizer creating gain-of-function viruses so that they can ultimately sell more vaccines, that's when things got sticky. That's when the board of directors started to get very unnerved about Mr. O'Keefe's editorial and journalistic integrity. And O'Keefe now is saying, over the last few weeks, I have felt a lot of despair, and soon a lot of evil, or seen a lot of evil, and felt overcome with various emotions. The external threats and pressure inflicted upon myself has been unimaginable. A few days after the Pfizer story, I was informed by an officer of Project Veritas that he would resign unless I stepped down as CEO. Gee, I wonder if there were any ties to Pfizer or Vanguard or BlackRock or any sort of other big pharmaceutical company that this supposed board member had aligned himself to or herself to that would put James O'Keefe in jeopardy of losing his position as CEO or his spot at the board of directors. So what is interesting, though, is that the board of directors did in fact come out with a statement about why they chose to put James O'Keefe on suspension until they ironed out a few things, such as a $14,000 charter flight to meet someone to fix his boat under the guise of meeting with a donor. They all donate to Project Veritas. $60,000 in losses by putting together dance events. Over $150,000 in black cars in the last 18 months, thousands of dollars spent on DJ and other equipment for personal use, hundreds of other acts of personal inurement. In other words, James O'Keefe was supposedly using Project Veritas's funds as his little private big piggy bank. Now, here's the whole problem with this. If you run a business, or if you have been a business owner like myself, if you don't spend the money, then the government gets it. You get taxed. Now, I know Project Veritas is not necessarily an S Corp. It is a nonprofit, supposedly. But the fact remains that if you don't spend this money on anything you can think of, then the money just sits there, and if you're running an S Corp, you'll lose the money. Like, if you open up your own business, as soon as you turn the key and you are in charge of an S Corp, then you have an instant 30% pay bump because the government comes after you every single quarter, and it averages about 30% of all of the money that you bring in. So, in other words, as long as you can sit there and say, oh, I'm taking out clients to breakfast, lunch, dinner, happy hour. Oh, my goodness, I need to drive to a client or drive to pick up equipment for my business. I'm going to make sure I keep all of those gas receipts. Those are all ways to reduce your tax burden. It is a tax write-off. Every single company does it. Now you know why business owners make the money that they do. And here's another little tidbit. If you are a business owner, I think, if I'm not mistaken, you can own an SUV and write off the whole damn thing as far as car payments are concerned because you're transporting goods to and from work and your clients and your business. That's the only way you really make money in the United States is by owning your own business. So when I see things like this, he probably did in fact go overboard, but the board of directors didn't have a problem with his spending until they decided to go after Pfizer. That's when everything went sideways. And then there are also ties that James O'Keefe has that are very nefarious, very shady kind of ties, which I don't have that information in front of me, but he is not on the up and up. I mean, you don't get into the position that he's in without making some shady ties. And speaking of shady ties, the West is apoplectic. Why? Because, oh, this comes from Yahoo News. Revealed. Leaked documents show Russia plans to take over Belarus. Let me tell you something about this. I'm pretty sure that most of the population of Belarus would rather be part of Russia again. I mean, it's if you look at the culture, the real culture, I'm not talking about some of these more avant-garde liberal cities. I'm talking about the real culture of Belarus. You might as well call it Russia. And they align themselves with Russia. So this is not some crazy harebrained scheme. This isn't something that everybody should be afraid of, because it's probably something that should have happened long ago. And so this comes from Michael Carpenter, the U.S. ambassador to the Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe. Russia's goals with regards to Belarus are the same as with Ukraine. Only in Belarus, it relies on coercion rather than war. Its end goal is still wholesale incorporation. Now, this is the amount of disinformation that neo-Nazi sympathizer Michael Carpenter is engaging in. He is now phrasing this whole supposed takeover as hostile, when in fact it probably would not be hostile. Belarus would probably welcome incorporation into the Russian Federation. So watch out for the West now phrasing this whole thing as an invasion. And Russia is now gobbling up Belarus. So we need to invade Belarus to save it for democracy and free speech against the Russian tyrant Vladimir Putin. Now, this is according to a document issued in the fall of 2021. And so, according to this document that is being leaked by Mr. Carpenter, Russia and Belarus are supposed to join by 2030, which would be a counterbalance to the UN Agenda 2030. So you're looking at a multipolar world here. Everything involved in the merger of the two countries has been considered, including the harmonization of Belarusian laws with those of the Russian Federation, a coordinated foreign and defense policy, and trade and economic cooperation on the basis of the priority, ensuring the predominant influence of the Russian Federation in the socio-political, trade, economic, social, or scientific, educational, whatever. A lot of words and a lot more syllables. So that's something to watch out for, because the West is going to try to frame Russia if they in fact do this incorporation. It would be just as legal as what went on in the Eastern Republics of the Ukraine with Donetsk and Luhansk. A referendum would occur, which is legal under international law. I'm sorry, European Union and the United States. And so that incorporation would occur under that guise. It would not be a hostile takeover. Do not buy any of the rhetoric that NATO and the United States is going to put out, the outright lies they're going to put out to say that this is hostile. And this comes from emergingeurope.com from October of 2019. A majority of Belarusians support union state with Russia. This poll, according to Belarus feed, 54.5% of residents would prefer it. 25% claim that they would prefer Belarus to join the EU, and 20% were undecided. I'm pretty sure since 2019, that 20% of undecided has now joined the 54.5% of decided. So that is that. I would not buy anything that they're going to tell you, because most of it is outright lies. That's what this is all about. They want a third world war in the worst way possible, but it won't happen. It just can't happen because there's too much at stake. And from the Epoch Times, Joseph Hahnemann, H-A-N-N-E-M-A-N, has now released that undercover D.C. police officers were pushing protesters towards the Capitol and also to climb over barricades on January 6th. So this is something that I brought up all the way back on January 7th and 8th, that this whole thing was perpetrated by agent provocateurs, probably contractors working for the Department of Justice or the Capitol Police or just Democrats urging people to go into the Capitol building, knowing full well the optics that this would portray and how this would damage any sort of support for Donald Trump. 2 years later, 3 years later, it has only served to galvanize support around Donald Trump. But now we have video, according to William Pope, of Topeka, Kansas, that shows evidence of undercover law enforcement officers urging the crowd to advance up the stairs and the scaffoldings towards the Capitol on January 6th. Since the government cannot be trusted to disclose these facts, I've come out and done it myself. Officer 1 began yelling at people in the front to go, 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 meaning climbing over the bicycle racks and also the barricades. Needing help to get up, Officer 1 asks a nearby man to give him a boost. The man gives Officer 1 a boost, and he replies, "Thanks, bro," and so on and so forth. So we know that has occurred. We know that these people were embedded all throughout January 6th, and these people are aligned either with Democrats or rollover Republicans. The Gateway Pundit has come out. 15 facts. I won't go into all of them about January 6th. We know the FBI infiltrated the Proud Boys. Remember that? Oh, look at those neo-Nazis. Most of them were feds. Fact 2, the FBI was recruiting men and women to infiltrate the crowds prior to January 6th, almost like it was staged. What are the odds of that? FBI wiretapping friends and family of protesters, at least 20 undercover FBI and ATF operatives, and 3 undercover police officers were running operations. Now, I would like to know whether or not you had, I don't know, maybe things like Blackwater or Z all throughout January 6th would be very interesting. And of course, we've got none other than Ray Epps. Who hasn't heard about Ray Epps yet? And then everybody that was on the FBI list that were feds just miraculously, quietly got removed from the FBI list, such as Ray Epps and Megan Paradise, if that's in fact their real names. Department of Justice finally admits they were running confidential human sources inside the Oath Keepers organization on January 6th, which ultimately means that all of these insurrectionists were none other than Department of Justice contractors and informants. Now, who was running the Department of Justice at the time? None other than traitorous Democrat-aligned individuals within the agency that wanted to see Donald Trump go. Former DEA agent was pressured to go inside of the Capitol, and so on and so forth. I mean, it just goes on and on. The worst and most damaging ones were several undercover police officers were filmed flashing their badges to other D.C. police and body cam footage that was released. And now here's something else. I would like to know just what exactly was going on with an individual by the name of General Flynn. Did he have any role in January 6th? Were there any people that he was aligned with that had a role in January 6th? I would certainly like to know if any of that actually occurred. If I'm asking that question, you already know where my head is at, and you already know what I'm thinking. The answer you probably guessed by now is a resounding yes, if you do a lot of your homework and I have not prepared that homework for this podcast. Okay, I'm going to end it here. I was going to get into more explosions throughout Ohio. There was another one today. And my original thought over the weekend was that, if we're going down the metaphysical road, my original thought was that they were sending up some kind of signals along a certain longitude or latitude, because the explosion that occurred in Italy is about the same distance from the North Pole that Ohio is. It's, you just see some weird, weird things along the same circle around the globe. So that's something that stuck out to me, but then I started to piece things together a little bit more, and I think I'm just going to go into all of that tomorrow, including what Stuxnet was. So that's going to be it for me, the first podcast of the week, Last Call Podcast with Chris Michaels. You know what to do. You can like me, find me, share me, wherever you go, Last Call Caravan, and also Last Call Podcast with Chris Michaels on all of your favorite podcasting platforms.